Good Friday morning. The much anticipated end of the week. Isn't that awesome? I like to start off on a positive note. How about here? How about the prospect of new jobs right here in the Carolinas? I'm referring to Sonic Automotive, announcing plans to create 500 jobs with a call center here in the Charlotte area. 500 jobs in Gaston County, $11.2 million national call center in the sprawling metropolis of Lowell. The positions include support agents, managers, and marketing personnel, with average pay at about $53,000. By the way, the current Gaston County wage averages about $39,000. So this is definitely a good thing. The CEO, David Smith, saying North Carolina remains our home. We're excited to expand our marketing and contact center operations for Sonic Automotive and Echo Park Automotive into Gaston County. North Carolina offered $6.8 million in incentives over 12 years, contingent on Sonic meeting certain job and spending requirements. And the state will also move $755,000 to a fund that's intended to support rural communities. In October, Gaston County approved incentives for the call center that required Sonic to add 275 jobs before receiving the benefits. The company also considered locations in Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee, but ultimately, it's Gaston County that wins out. 500 jobs. Great. That is certainly some good news. I want to talk about a race that we addressed yesterday because we still do not have a certified winner in North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. I think I also expressed in this program, let's just say, a little bit of skepticism about what the legislature has done. Now, so far, we don't have a signature from Governor Cooper. But the Republican House and Senate has, basically, in a situation like we have, mandated that if there is a determination that there's a need for another election, that the primary process will have to start all over again, which means, let's just call it a circus. That's what's going to happen here. So Mark Harris, and I'd love to hear, and I'm sure there are Republican operatives within the sound of my voice and legislators, call me. I would love to hear from you, to hear your explanation as to why you are doing this. There are things that are done that have kind of naked political ambitions attached to them. Like here in North Carolina, but also in other places like Wisconsin, efforts by the legislature to curb the power of the governor when you see that a Democrat governor is coming. What is that? I mean, I'm just curious. If we think as a principle, as a value, that the governor has too much power, strip the current governor. Strip the Republican governors of power. If it's wrong for a Democrat governor to have a certain power, it's wrong for the Republican to have that power as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm seeing are naked power grabs everywhere. And I've become convinced for quite some time that for too many people, being a Republican is not a matter of holding to certain values and certain principles. All it is a brand. It's a brand for the acquisition and consolidation of power. That's it. Now, am I saying that the Republican Party doesn't do some good things? No. What I am saying, though, increasingly, what I'm seeing is poisonous to our republic. Now, if you're a member of the legislature and you have an opinion on this and you want to explain to me why you would come in now and make a decision for this process to start all over again, I would love to hear it. Explain it to me. Explain it to our listeners. On the surface, and just about everybody I've talked to, their immediate reaction to this looks to me like an effort to screw Mark Harris. How else can this be interpreted? Now, you may not like Mark Harris, or you may like, it doesn't matter. But this looks like a naked attempt to take the guy down. Now, I have seen some other activities by certain Republican officials in this state that, frankly, are very nauseating. And it's the reason a lot of people don't participate in party politics anymore, because they see that it's corrupt, that it's driven by a few people who are pulling the strings. And no matter what the grassroots people want to do, you basically get a screw you message from the system. There must be a healthy skepticism here of legislation like this. Still to be determined is the outcome of the investigation itself. As you know, there are irregularities that allegedly occurred here. So the question is, first off, what is the outcome of the investigation? Will they determine that the irregularities made enough of an impact that it changed the outcome of the final tally? If it did not, the numbers need to stand as they do. If there's some question, or it's very clear that the winner would be different or could possibly be different here, then maybe another course of action is necessary. I'm going to give Grant here about 30 seconds here. What are your thoughts, sir?
Hey, Vince, how are you?
All right, sir.
I just wanted to say you're exactly right about both parties. Both parties are crooked and corrupt, and that is why Donald Trump exists today, is because, and as much as I like and don't like different parts of him, he exists because people are sick of this garbage. There is so much crookedness on both sides, and they were just happy to have somebody in that isn't one of them, and that is just normal, like more normal, like the rest of us. People are sick of the partisanship, and Donald Trump was created before he ever ran.
that's an interesting point you make there. I appreciate your call there, Grant. You expressed that very quickly as well. We'll take more of your calls and talk about this as we continue. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, we're talking about a congressional race that is still up in the air, and some of the maneuverings of the Republican Party leadership in North Carolina to position for what amounts to a pretty crazy and chaotic primary that could happen. Starting the process all over again is what their new legislation would mandate. Let's quickly go out to Rock Hill and Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Yes, Vince. I really have a question. If the House resolution in Raleigh and the companion Senate bill got to the governor's desk, I wonder if there could be an injunction about ex post facto, because if we don't have the photographic evidence, and if the tough, compelling questions hadn't been asked, and that did somebody see this person putting a bunch of absentee ballots in the mail on both sides, both the major parties? Because we do need reform with early voting in North Carolina. I agree, you do need some revision of same-day registration while early voting and absentee if you wanted to opt out of early voting. Yeah, you have to look at that language again. I do agree with that.
So you're concerned here about the possibility too of litigation, it sounds like.
You haven't brought it up, but I said That's right. If we don't have the concrete evidence of stuffing United States Postal, outgoing mail at a post office unit, you got to let this stand. Otherwise, this could get challenged in court by somebody with deep pockets and tie it up for years.
Yeah, this could be quite a mess. I appreciate your call there, Mark. You know, it's just crazy, isn't it? Just absolutely crazy. Speaking of corruption, at least some element of this is now confirmed for Michael Cohen. This texter saying, Vince, this is pretty damning. The ongoing investigation and the now sentencing of Michael Cohen. What do you think? This quote, I never directed Michael Cohen to break the law. But he quotes from Donald Trump, September 2016, pay with cash. I think this texter is suggesting that the president's definitely complicit in what happened. Well, we've kind of suggested there's the possibility here that he could be open to prosecution once leaving office. Whether he could be indicted while in office, that's another question. On the ongoing situation with the 9th District, Vince, now the demon rats know how many votes they need. It's a done deal. It's John out of Cowpens. Another texter, Exhibit A, you choir boys. In an MMA fight equals your beatdown. On deck is the baller, Pittenger. Get back to your covered dish deacons meeting. Really? Charles is like, what in the world? I know this is a blood sport. I get it. But I just want to keep challenging many of you in this audience who think just because somebody is strident and they are brawlers, you have to ask the question, who are they fighting for? Are they fighting for you or are they fighting for themselves? That's the question. That is the million-dollar question. And I'm convinced most of these people are there for themselves. You are secondary. You have to remember that. You're secondary, if you're even a consideration at all. You're a means to an end. You are a bad boy, Vince. When misguided people call in and go on about how great Trump is, you just let them go on. It just proves what a Trump hater you are. That's just hilarious. Also this, maybe you're still bitter about the machine. Bitter about the machine, really. Government at all levels is nothing more than the neo-mafia. Criminals monitoring criminals, overseeing criminals stealing from the working class. Wow. That's a pretty brutal assessment. Vince, maybe you can explain, what exactly do the voters have to do with this recall? Well, right now, nothing. Nothing. A texter responding to our previous texter who referred to paying with cash. Vince, you are mistaken. I'm not mistaken. The texter is mistaken. Trump requested Cohen pay the women with a check. All right. That makes everything better. Cash, check. Who freaking cares? Come on, people. Ah, boy, sometimes you really have to wonder. Another interesting sidebar story on this, by the way, and this whole 9th congressional thing. Another story that Mark Harris was warned about hiring this particular aide who's at the center of all of the investigation. Three individuals familiar with the campaign, despite warnings the operative may have used questionable tactics, said Mark Harris insisted on hiring this person, Leslie McCrae Dowless. This was after losing a 2016 election in which Dowless had helped one of Harris's opponents win an overwhelming share of the mail-in votes in a key county. State and local investigators say whether Harris knew that his campaign may have engaged in improper tactics has become a focus of the expanding probes into whether election irregularities affected the 9th district election. By the way, that margin is only 905 votes. 905. How close can you possibly be? So we will keep an eye on this ongoing feud and conflict and food fight and the entire mess. By the end of December, we'll probably have a clear idea as to what's going to happen here. Coming up on the broadcast, we're going to discuss a number of things that I think are really important and not getting enough attention. One of them is the subject of Yemen. As you know, Saudi Arabia has been involved in somewhat of a proxy war there. And by extension, we are involved as well because we are essentially supporting the Saudis in what they are doing. We talked about this earlier in the week because there was an effort underway. There was an effort at least by several members of Congress to try to have a conversation about this, to try to get the United States of America extracted from a situation that frankly is none of our business. But unfortunately, this has been punted in the House by Paul Ryan, who's on the way out. But in the Senate, we have a totally different reaction. We'll deal with that coming up. Why don't we take a quick call before going to break? You got about 30 seconds, Dean in Fort Mill. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I was just wondering, like, how athletes do all the work, but the NCAA doesn't allow them to be paid. And I was just thinking, like, lobbyists pay for influence, and they have vote-getters that get paid to obtain votes. Why can't I get paid to vote? What's wrong with that?
You know what's interesting about this? You talk about the NCAA. How many people work for that organization, and they're making money off of students? How's that for a consideration, Dean? I just think, you know, I don't have a clear answer to this, but I think it's really interesting that we're trying to keep corruption away from certain areas, and we do that by taking money ourselves. Boy, that sounds like a great plan. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. As you know, there's a lot of media attention focused on Michael Cohen. He has now done an interview saying that Donald Trump directed him to make payments to help the campaign. This interview, I'm sure, will get a whole lot of attention here. Over on the text line, Trump is no angel. Well, there's no question about that. This person did not finish this particular text, by the way. Oh, there we go. He knows better than to tell his lawyer to do something illegal. That's something Hillary would do. Vince, it's not a binary choice. They can be for us and for themselves at the same time. Well, they can. That's true. It's a possibility. There was always a cloud of unethical behavior with Trump. Not surprised if he's caught up with Cohen. However, I don't regret voting for him in the general. And another person saying, counting the United States, Trump has now bankrupted five companies. Really? Come on. So here we are with this news story. You know, now that he's going to prison, Michael Cohen is making the rounds, doing at least one interview so far. The person now referred to as the president's fixer said his former boss knew that having Cohen arranging payments during the 2016 election to silence women who claimed to have had affairs with Trump was wrong. And he adds he's done with being loyal to Trump. Reiterating what he said in his guilty plea in August, Cohen told ABC News, Trump directed him to make the payment because Trump was very concerned about how this would affect the election. George Snuffleupagus from ABC. So Trump was trying to hide what you were doing, correct? Correct, Cohen replied. He knew what he was doing was wrong, Stephanopoulos asked. Of course. Cohen said he also knew what he was doing was wrong. I'm done with the lying, Cohen said. I'm done being loyal to President Trump. My first loyalty belongs to my wife, my daughter, my son, and this country. Too bad he's just now making that decision. Should have made that decision years ago, but I digress. As to why he should be believed now, Cohen replied, because the special counsel stated emphatically, the information that I gave them is credible and helpful. There's a substantial amount of information that they possess that corroborates the fact that I am telling the truth. Trump said in an interview with Fox News on Thursday that he never directed Cohen to do anything wrong. I don't think there's anybody that believes that. Cohen told ABC News of Trump's denials. First of all, nothing in the Trump organization was ever done unless it was run through Trump. The president's former fixer, who once said he'd take a bullet for Trump, told ABC he gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty and that he should not be the only one taking responsibility for his actions. I notice all these softball questions from George Stephanopoulos. So Trump's still lying. Oh, my goodness. You would know all about lying, wouldn't you, Mr. Stephanopoulos? I'm getting them mixed up now. Stephanopoulos and Snuffleupagus. I mean, remember this guy and his loyalty in the lying for the Clinton administration. Now, the thing is, don't get me wrong. I'm not here defending Donald Trump either. But I think this is really rich. Couldn't they have found somebody else to do this interview other than George Stephanopoulos? This, to me, is poor judgment on the part of ABC. It really is. Knowing what we know about George Stephanopoulos, this, to me, is profoundly inappropriate. Find a real journalist to do this interview. Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to campaign finance violations, tax evasion, making a false statement to a bank, and making false statements to Congress. Prosecutors said in executing the payments, Cohen acted in coordination with and at the direction of Trump, who's denied having the affairs with the two women. Cohen said Trump is a very different person than the man he used to work for. I think the pressure of the job is much more than what he thought it was going to be. It's not like the Trump organization where he would bark out orders and people would blindly follow what he wanted done. There's a system here. He doesn't understand the system. I think this is funny. Anyway, I'd love to get your thoughts on what Mr. Cohen is saying right now and where this goes. Do you think this will ultimately ensnare the president one way or the other, whether that's in the White House now with impeachment or later on after the president leaves office, whether that is after the 2020 election or whether it is 4 years later? Love to get your thoughts. How come Cohen was so unreliable in the media before he pled guilty and now so reliable once he's bashing Trump? How does an attorney openly discuss conversation with a client and that not be malpractice? Also this, look at Trump's history. All of his relatives and friends vacation in prison. Really? Got to be careful about that word all, by the way. Notice how after everyone makes a lot of money, they all get righteous. I love this country, and I firmly support our president, but I seriously have to question his ability to determine who's for us and who's against us. Too many swamp creatures in the administration. Yeah. Evangelicals have turned on the Holy Bible in exchange for the Trump Bible. Ooh, ouch. Boy, that's painful. You're right about that. Wow. Vince, who cares about Cohen or Avenatti? Lawyers lie for a living. A lawyer stating he's done lying is lying. That's Mike out of Virginia. Okay, I'm not laughing at all you attorneys. This, you have to admit, that was a little comical. Another person here wanting to make a distinction between Stephanopoulos and Snuffleupagus saying Snuffleupagus has credibility. Alrighty. Vince, if the special counselor says Cohen is reliable, then he must be, right? Mueller is corrupt. Cohen is a dirtbag ambulance chaser. Another person I believe nothing Cohen has to say. Nothing. Alrighty. Just a sampling of some of the items here on the text line. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's going on with Yemen and Saudi Arabia. What in the world are we doing there? Why are we putting ourselves in the place of being in bed with the Saudis in this particular cause? What is the deal? And why is it we don't even want to have a discussion about our role there? We'll talk about this and get your perspective. Also coming up, another really positive story. One of my favorite actors, what he's done is absolutely extraordinary. We'll tell that story much more as we continue our Friday broadcast. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. So we have action from the U.S. Senate, which is kind of interesting. They voted to withdraw U.S. military aid for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. And they're blaming the kingdom's crown prince for the murder of a journalist. This is the first time any chamber of U.S. Congress has agreed to pull U.S. forces from a military conflict under the 1973 War Powers Act. In fact, some of President Donald Trump's fellow Republicans defied him to pass this measure with Democrats, the vote 56 to 41. Problem is, it's going to end up being only symbolic, will not become law. The non-binding War Powers Resolution calls upon President Trump to remove all American forces engaging in hostilities in Yemen, except for those combating Islamist terrorists. The Senate then unanimously passed a resolution blaming, unanimously, this is a huge rebuke, a resolution blaming the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, for the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, insisting the kingdom hold accountable those responsible. The U.S. chose to cease refueling Saudi planes last month, and Thursday's resolution, if it were ultimately passed into law, would prohibit that practice from resuming. It's kind of interesting to see the people who have come together on this. Bernie Sanders co-sponsored the measure with Republican Mike Lee of Utah. Think about this. I mean, you can't find people further apart on the political spectrum than Bernie Sanders and Mike Lee. Today, we tell the despotic government of Saudi Arabia we will not be part of their military adventures. He described the outcome as a signal to the world. The United States of America will not continue to be part of the worst humanitarian disaster on the face of the earth. Bob Corker told MSNBC, if he was before a jury, the crown prince, he would be convicted, in my opinion, in 30 minutes. I think this is pretty interesting, don't you? The entire Senate standing behind this condemnation. By the way, I just want to give you one snippet of information about what's going on in Yemen. It has been labeled the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. 3 years of war. Millions of Yemenis suffering severe food shortages. And they're estimating 85,000 people may have already died of starvation. Do we care? As long as the Saudis, you know, keep the oil flowing, and as long as we continue with the practice of promoting petrodollars. Is that all that matters to us? I'm just asking. Because I think there's a very serious question about our own moral compass that we would continue to indulge people like this For what reason? What purpose? What do we get? What do we get out of this as Americans? Thomas Massey did an interview with Breitbart declaring U.S. involvement in Yemen is not America first. As you know, he led an effort to try to get protection for interventionism taken out of the Farm Bill. This was a rule that prohibits a vote on America's involvement with Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. So in the House, they didn't even get a vote. This was taken away by Paul Ryan, and these morons voted for this, along with a few Democrats. The House Rules Committee released a rule on the conference report for the Farm Bill, which includes a rule that the War Powers Resolution does not apply to Yemen, which would spark a debate on whether the United States should refrain engaged in the foreign war in the Middle East. Thomas Massey, who you heard on this program, we shared his comments as he was speaking live on the floor, said that there was no reason that American farmers should be jeopardized just to block a vote on a resolution condemning America's involvement in Yemen. This is definitely not America first. We shouldn't be spending our blood and treasure in the Middle East. And furthermore, on another level, we shouldn't be jeopardizing the passage of domestic policy and domestic spending with a foreign policy war issue. In other words, if you're putting America first, why would you jeopardize passage of the Farm Bill by sneaking in the war in Yemen through the Farm Bill? It's not America first. It's not putting America's farmers first. I do not think they should be excited to find out that Paul Ryan used their bill to pull these shenanigans. But as you know, they pulled it off. They succeeded. This is one of the questions I pose, and it's a little late now, but I'll ask the same question in 2020. When you have a congressional election, ask yourself the question, are you sending a leader or a follower to Washington, D.C.? If it's a follower, don't bother. You're wasting your time. Because all they're going to do is whatever Paul Ryan or now Kevin McCarthy wants them to do. Jim, you got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, Vince, ever since 9-1-1, and you can even go back before that, remember the coal that got blown up right there on Yemen? And Sirhan, this issue with the Mideast been going on our entire history of our country. Marines were founded by, you know, Shores of Tripoli. Vince, it's all about nukes and oil. Ever since the search for weapons of mass destruction.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, we're out of time here. Stay with us. Hour number two straight ahead.